Okay, so if you're a longtime listener to the show, you know Roger and I love food. We love bringing people who own restaurants in, and this morning's no exception. We have Katie and Galen Samara from Le Depot and Union Patisserie back. They've been open for over a year now. We want to hear how it's doing. And if you remember, they had the Friday afternoon French celebration of the end of the work week. I like to call it happy hour, but you can't say that in this state. But let's see when that's going to kick off, all right? Good morning. Welcome to Mountain Money.
Thank you very much. Thanks for having us.
Yeah.
So a year and a half now, you've been open on both places. And you're sticking with it? It's doing well?
Yes.
Good.
Let's start with the restaurant. Obviously, running a restaurant on Main Street is a challenge. Tell us what the biggest challenge and surprise is, both pleasant and unpleasant, from the last year and a half.
Yeah, well, there's certainly a lot of surprises. There's certainly a ton of surprises. I mean, I'll say this, not having, we've been in Utah and in the area, but not being on Main Street. Main Street has its own things. I'd say the biggest surprises is just how affected seasonally you are. Mm-hmm. Like it's very, very drastic from going to just absolute mayhem to just crickets. And it's also not always very clear when that is. And weather just plays such a huge role. This year, weather being as extreme as it was, I think just amplified that a million times. So,
amplified the crickets?
Both.
Oh.
Both. It's kind of that unpredictability that is the biggest challenge.
And you say that, and for those of us who are thinking about finances, take that down a level. Right? In the terms of what does it mean? How do you have to plan food? How do you have to plan staffing? How difficult is that? And how do you do that?
I'll let you know when I figure it out. Honestly. Those are the big things. Because in the food business, unlike, say, retail, food goes bad, right? Yeah. So you have to really control. If you order too much, food goes bad. And it's a waste, and you're running tight margins, so you can't do that. Conversely, if you don't have enough, you look foolish because you're running out of all these foods and you don't have all these dishes, and it creates a horrible experience for guests. And then for staffing, that's the other thing. Those are the big expenses for hospitality, for restaurants. Is staff and food. You have to staff appropriately. And again, go into detail about the unpredictability, and especially because we have a big outdoor space, right? So you could have an amazing, like this year, March really wasn't that strong. We didn't have that many tourists, but it was sunny, and we have that great outdoor time at space. And so thank God, we were actually really busy on sunny days. Mm-hmm. Partly because probably there's nothing to do on the mountain. People were here. They couldn't get out of the reservations. And so they were like, we're just going down to Main Street and let's go hang out here. So we sometimes you staff small and you just get slammed. You have no idea. And how do you handle, are you just turning away people? Or how do you spread people out? And that's a challenge. And then we look back at last year and we kind of predict what this year is going to be. And lo and behold, a mountain closes and middle of March, and all of a sudden no one's here and you're kind of stuck. That's what's hard. That's what it looks like.
But you're going to stay with it.
Well, you just keep going. Yeah. I mean, well, some of that, the psychopath in me loves that chaos.
But we've also been super, like the community's embraced us, the French brasserie feel where it's lively and it's become a spot. Not just about the food, but a place to be. And I feel like the location, too, we're so lucky, and it was coveted for so many years. And now bringing back the vibrancy to Lower Main and in the space, we're super, super happy.
The fact that it was empty for so long, it was such a wonderful location, just blew me away. I'm glad you guys moved in there. And here's another thing. Outside in the patio area, how many umbrellas did you go through last summer? Because
oh,
I was there once when they just...
You were there.
Yeah.
Whammo.
I know.
The wind comes through there pretty good.
Yeah. We went through a lot. Yeah. We went through all of them. Let me put it that way. We went through all of them. So.
And I remember the night you were there. Like, it flew up in the air. And I was like, oh, gosh, please don't hit anyone.
Don't hit anyone.
This
yeah.
is the last thing that we need.
So we've talked about unpredictability of demand. I've got another unpredictability question, which is, we're a year and a half in. How have the menu items that are more popular, what has surprised you, if anything, about what the tastes of your clientele are? What do they like? What did you think they were going to like that just hasn't sold the way you thought it would?
That's a great question. And we have learned a lot about that. And I think the thing that we took away from it is less is more. Let's really try and focus on the things that people really like and stop trying to always come up with the greatest, newest dish. Because when people come in, they already have in their mind, when I think of a French brasserie or bistro, I want this. Literally yesterday, it's 80 beautiful degrees. Someone came in for lunch and was like, oh, you don't have beef bourguignon? I'm like, who on earth wants beef bourguignon today? Are you kidding me? But it's those sorts of things yep. that people want. And so we've kind of honed things in so that it's honestly like lunch and dinner are more similar because it highlights those dishes. But anytime you change the menu, we get the critics who are like, oh, why'd you take that foie gras off the menu? Why don't you change? And I'm like, well, you know, why'd you take this off the menu? Well, it's 100 degrees outside. So, yeah, I think that really heavy winter dish doesn't make sense.
And stay with this. What's been your consistent bestseller?
Steak frites.
Oh, yeah.
I don't even have to think about it. Yeah. It's steak frites all night long, all day long. And it's honestly crazy.
And that brings up the companion question, which is, how are you dealing with this incredible spike in beef prices if that's your most important dish?
Okay. We don't have to experience that much here in Utah because we have a great local source of beef. If Utah has one thing, it has great beef, and it's local beef that is honestly grass-raised because they just let them out there and eat all that sort of stuff, so it's a good quality.
So it hasn't been that bad?
On beef. Okay. Plenty of other things.
That you can complain about?
Especially all that. We tried to import a ton of things from France, and we did, and we've had to really change from that because that is where things got crazy. And so that was hard and continues to be hard.
Yeah, I know the steak frites is a fantastic dish in my opinion. But, okay, so that's Le Depot. Union Patisserie. You have breakfast, lunch, pastries, fresh bread, fantastic coffees. What else? What about the Friday celebration? Is that coming back?
Apero, yes,
Apero.
It is.
Apero is coming back, which is, like you said, our happy hour. So Union also has beer and wine.
Yep.
And we have some retail products and stuff that we sell there. We do fun, you know, every Thursday we have our creme brulee donut little thing, which has become super popular that people love. But the Apero, you know, we do in the summer. We'll start it up, you know, on Fridays, July 3rd, I think is the first one.
And that will be a busy one, I predict.
I'm sure. Yeah, I know, for that weekend. But what we were doing, you know, like dollar oysters and little hors d'oeuvres and stuff. And we generally have music out in our plaza. And so you can sit outside or open the doors at Union and enjoy all that. And enjoy the music and just the beautiful plaza. So that's what Apero is. It was super popular. I mean, you know, you were, you know, one of our mainstays there, and we'll start it up again, you know. And it's funny because we generally wait for the summer because we want to get through the unpredictability of weather.
Good weather.
That honestly, we probably don't need to care about right now. So,
no.
But yeah, that's what we're looking for. Yeah.
Good deal. Good deal. And you have the same chefs at both places?
No, we've gone through a little bit more, but okay. We still, yeah, you know, but you know, we still have a great, strong team right
yeah.
now. Yeah.
And now, how hard is that? So I hear from other restaurant owners that just getting staff is so difficult.
It's hard. And that, I will be honest with you, that is the most important thing, is your team. No question.
Yeah.
And part of it is because it's such a transient time. You have to go up and down in your team. So you're constantly having to scale back. But you need to have a good core that's with you. I feel very good, you know, about our core, which is great. We've been very lucky. I always just put a lot of importance on that. But it's so hard finding people. It's expensive to live here. And it's hard. It is hard to find that quality. And then when you ramp up for the winter, winter is less hard because there's a ton of people who come here. They want to ski and whatever. You get good people for the winter. The challenge in the winter is they always leave like 3 weeks before you want them to leave, right? In the summer, it's harder to find because we have to ramp up even more in the summer than in the winter. And that's the part where it's going to be challenging to get our team. But come June, we're going to really need to start building up.
Yeah.
I'm going to ask you some of the same questions I asked about the restaurant. What is the most popular thing that you're seeing from the patisserie? And again, has it changed?
I think in the beginning, it was tons of people who just came for coffee. And then they started to realize we had all these pastries. And now it's all the pastries. And so that's the bigger shift that we got, which is great.
And what are the pastries that are the hits?
Well, like I said.
Am I asking you to choose between your children? I mean, I don't really mean to do
no,
that.
No, not at all.
Sophie's Choice, which is your favorite pastry?
It's the croissants. It's the breakfast pastries, the Queen Amand croissant. It's the donuts on the Thursday. You know, now people know about it, and they just come, and it's like, it's that sort of stuff. Macaroons, you know, so.
Yeah, and our pastry chef, Cassidy Cabell, she's been here with us since the beginning. and has worked with Galen prior to here, too. And she's just creative and keeps coming up with new things, too.
Last June, when you were on the show, we discussed the difficulties of opening two restaurants at the same time. Is it still difficult, or is it now becoming easier because it's two?
It's easier because it's two. But they're also so intertwined that... That's what makes it that way. So the answer is it's much easier now.
Yeah. Good. I figured that would help out.
When you say they're intertwined, do they share kitchen space? Do they share staff? All of the above?
Well, Union Patisserie itself, the little shop, doesn't have any kitchen space.
Okay.
So we do all of our production out of the kitchen and walk it over.
And one of my favorite questions, you mentioned that you have morning pastries. One of my favorite questions when we talk to restaurateurs like you is, who comes in first and how early does it all start?
In the winter, you know, it's 7 o'clock, you got people lining up. We open at 7 a.m.
So when do the workers have to be there to open at 7?
Well, for the baristas and stuff, 6 or 6:30. Mm-hmm. It's fairly easy to get things up and running. The hardest part is going and grabbing all the pastries and setting them out and that sort of thing.
Are they making those in the middle of the night or do they make those the night before?
No, early morning.
So they're coming in at
They
like
come in 3, 4 in the morning when they start. You roll out everything, proof it overnight, come in, fire it off.
Yeah.
So it's that. So, and it's literally the croissants are coming out of the oven, crackling hot at 7 o'clock type of thing.
Which is why that's a great time to be there.
Yes. Yes, it is.
Now, talking about liquor laws, you cannot take your beer from Union Patisserie over into...
You can. How dare you?
Can't. I didn't.
And it wasn't even happy hour.
It wasn't me. It wasn't me.
You cannot. And it's a lot of fun stopping people because every day that's what they want to do, and they don't. No one understands that stuff.
Yeah. I mean, I live here, so I do understand it, and that's why I don't. But yeah, it would be, you know, it's great to on the Friday celebration. And then move right over for dinner. Oh. So,
speaking of understanding, how open have people been to the new show me your ID even if you look like you're on Medicare law?
Not open at all. And it was so hard. Not only that, I'm just going to say two things. It is, as early as we are in the year right now, they've changed the laws like 4 times.
Yeah.
So it's everybody's running in circles. Our team always having to go back to them and tell them what's the law today. Is frustrating. But that one specifically where you had to card everybody no matter what age they looked was also which was enacted immediately in January in the thick of everything where you have a ton of people coming from out of town who already don't understand our laws. our staff was met with pure hostility.
Yeah,
and we correct. Just people
really?
Turning. We mm-hmm. I can't tell you how much business we lost. It was awful because of the number of people who just turned away, F you, yelling at our staff, how dare you, what do you mean, I'm older than your father, I'm not, and it's just, they just, and I get the frustration,
yeah.
but they unfortunately take it out on your servers, bartenders, and everybody, and it was awful, mm-hmm. awful.
Yeah, but where are they going to go? Because every place is doing in the state. Are they going to go home?
Yeah, they probably learned that the hard way.
Right.
But...
And a lot of people on Main Street, they just have their ski pass because they're, you know, skiing and then they want to get a drink after. They're not accustomed to carrying a license with them.
Yeah.
Now, have they changed that a little bit? Has it loosened up?
You don't
yeah,
have to
I
do
thought.
That anymore.
Yeah.
Oh, you don't?
No.
But
there's other things that they did enact, and it's just, again, it's all over the place. But.
And what's the point? Do you understand any point that they might have for doing this? I mean, it's not going to reduce underage drinking if you have gray hair.
I can tell you when we had the people on from the Liquor Control Board a few months ago, I can tell you what they said. It's all about multi-DUI convicted people so that
yes.
they could put something on their license that said you're convicted or there's some fun, I can't remember the right word. So
no
that was
kidding.
What it was all about identifying those people.
There's
it was
an orange stripe
it was
or
a
something.
Stripe that would go on. If and it will be a long time before anyone actually gets that because you have to be convicted multiple times and the clock just started. But anyway, that was the original point.
Right. As silly as that is, it was that's what I've heard is the reason that they did it was it was actually just to stop these people that have such extreme case that they're not allowed to order alcohol anymore, even though they are adult. Mm-hmm. It was to prevent that.
They're not allowed to order alcohol.
Well, but maybe what it is, they have so many DUIs.
You're not allowed to order alcohol in public if you are one of these. Again, I can't remember this word. It's not convicted. There's a word that it'll come to me. Anyway, if you're one of these people, you are not allowed to have alcohol in public. I'm not sure about in private, but you cannot be served.
Right.
That was what they're after.
Gotcha.
And I believe that's still true. I mean, I think that if you guys saw somebody with that, you'd have to not serve them. They're just not requiring it. You know, I think they're still trying to figure out what to do, right?
Correct.
Yeah.
But a pretty silly reason.
Yeah.
I learn something new every day. Okay, so the best dish is at Le Depot is the steak.
The most popular
The most popular.
Yeah.
Okay.
Not that it's not the best, but I would just say that is the most popular.
What's the best coming from the chef?
Well, that's a fun question, actually. I mean, for me, you know, food's such a – it's like asking someone what the best song is. It's like everybody's got their personal taste.
Rolling Stones, yeah.
So that's, you know, a good example. You're adamant about one thing and someone else about something else. But
Exactly. Anything else you want to share with our listeners?
Well, we have fun summer activations going on out there. I think that's something that a lot of people just love.
And your website?
Our website is ledepoparkcity.com.
No. ledepopc.com.
Thank you.
And will you be posting like who the musical artists will be on there and when the events will be if people want to know what's going
yes.
on?
Yes.
Absolutely.
Wonderful. Well, we just spent a few minutes with Katie and Galen Zamara of Le Depot and Union Patisserie. Thank you very much for joining us this morning.
Thank you so much for having us.
And looking forward to July 3rd, Friday. What a great way to kick off the 4th of July weekend, huh?
We'll yeah. reserve your table.
Oh, thank you. And ice cold beer. Hey, stay with us. We'll be right back.